وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. Dear respected brothers and sisters, last time, quick review. Some of us missed it. It was about the leather socks and regular socks, the masail related to socks, and how it is allowed for us to do mas'ah over it and what conditions it's possible. So one of the things that we discussed was khuffain. The word is used as khuffain for any socks which are completely covered with leather, that the main material used to make those socks is leather. And there is no disagreement over this. Ibn Hajar rahmatullahi has said that over 70 sahaba have narrated incidents where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done masa over leather socks. So there, from amongst the four imams, there is no argument about the leather socks, that everyone agrees that it's allowed to do. But the problem was with the regular socks, and we discussed about those conditions. If those conditions are not found in regular socks, then it is not allowed to do masa over those socks. It will leave the person with an incomplete wudu, and every ibadah done after that will be counted as without wudu. That's why it's a very delicate case. But we've already discussed these things. I'm just going over them. The duration for the leather socks, do we remember how many days a person who is resident, he can keep it on for? 24 hours, okay. And musafir? 3 days, 3 nights. So the person, when he wears the sock, when is he going to start his clock? After the wudu breaks. Okay, that's the point we have to keep in mind, that it's not, if I wear it in Fajr, that's not the time. But maybe after Ishraq, my wudu breaks. So that's where the clock begins from. So till the next day of Ishraq, I can keep them on. And then I would have to take it off and wash my feet and again start a new clock. Everything that breaks the wudu also breaks the masa. It's the same thing. And when a person has it on, all he has to do is masa. And how do we do it, with the right or left hand? How? It's very simple. Ahmad, you want to? What about the left foot? Which hand? Yes, so each hand is with each foot. So it's very easy to understand. So for right hand, right foot, right hand. Left foot, left hand. The conditions that were discussed, they were that the sock should be covering the whole foot. If water goes, water should not be able to seep through that sock. And it should stay onto the person's foot without him tying it. That was one of the conditions. And it should be so thick that a person can walk in those socks for approximately 3 miles. So it's actually taken from the condition of Rasulullah ﷺ, how his socks were. That's why these conditions, fuqaha have put them together. That if we're going to follow, then we have to follow all the way. So Rasulullah ﷺ socks, the leather socks especially, were so thick that they were being used in the place of shoes. And in many cases, we find that that's all they were wearing. It wasn't that there was a leather sock and then going into another shoe. The idea was that they were being used as shoes. So that's how thick they were supposed to be. And for the men and women, there were no tilaf there. It's both the same. So anything related to socks, just before we go ahead, does anybody need anything answered about socks?
I was
not
here for the last.
Yes, yes.
So,
yes, so we did bring it up. I mean, that was in the previous one. That's called wudu gear. I showed it on there. And it has a fatwa with it. So we don't have to worry about checking everything and putting water in and seeing everything. Those are allowed. And the conditions, if we need to know, the conditions are what I already mentioned. They're all found in those socks. So wudu gear socks are allowed to use along with the leather socks. Yes. Okay, is everyone clear with the socks? So when we're traveling overseas or going far areas, it's a good idea to have these. It's a very good idea. And sometimes we feel ashamed to put our foot in the sink in front of people. And why not have socks, and it'll just take a few seconds to do masa.
Yeah,
Yes, we also discussed this, but for those who are not here, if the imam is seen that he is a person who is doing masah on regular socks, then do we remember what I said about this case? What should we do? Yeah, so that particular salat where we saw him doing it, that you saw the imam doing it, and then he becomes the imam, we prayed behind him, so now we know as a certainty that he has done it. So for that salat, you have to pray over. And if we just assume, then Sharia doesn't make any rulings on assumptions. Sirf ye guman kar lena ke ye to falan jagah ke hain, aise karte honge. That's a wrong idea. Because it's true that it does go towards that, but our rulings are not based on this.
If I see you wanted to do it, but I'm not sure.
Yes.
So can I assume that you will take the next other day,
the same thing? Or, the other day? So did you see me every day?
One day.
Yes, for only that salah, that one day, you're going to repeat. But you didn't see me, right? But if you didn't see me, then the level of yaqeen is not there. So certainty is not there. So we can give you the argument that it's possible he did it that day, but he didn't do it today. So just because of that small possibility, we're going to say the salat is okay. Are you talking about the leather socks? Yeah, so it's the same for, the only difference is duration. So if he's a musafir, it will be more than one day, and if he's regular, then just one day. That's all there is. Everything else for men, women is the same masail there. Is that what you're... Yeah, inshallah. So today the subject is, we're trying to finish Kitab al-Taharat, inshallah, maybe... this might be the final one related to Taharat, and then we have to do one review for all of these different subjects we have covered before the Hajj time, inshallah. We can have one quiz or something. But inshallah, these are the final subjects that are in Kitab al-Taharat. If you do fiqh anywhere, you take sessions, you will find they start off with ghusl, wudu, and the basics, tayammum. Then it comes to the point where how to clean your clothes. If there's najasat on the clothes, how do we get rid of it? If there's najasat on the body, how do we get rid of it? If there's najasat on the place we're praying, how do we get rid of it? So that's what we're going to be discussing today. If we find that the first question there is about the ruling. This is a farz. That's why every person, every Muslim has to know this. It's not that for ulama, for particular religious people. No, everyone who prays salat and every Muslim should be praying salat. So they should know how to clean their body and clothing. And that's what we're discussing today. And the place where the prayer will take place, this is a prerequisite. That means it's a farz for the salat. Without this, the salat will not count. That means it would have to be repeated if it's done in this case. Now, the word used in fiqh for filth is najasat. And this is the chart which is used to explain the types of najasat. In Urdu as well, we call it najasat gandagi. So if najasat filth gets on the body, before we even get into that, we'll find that there's two types. There is the haqiqi and hukmi. Haqiqi in Urdu as well, it means something which is real. That it's actually there, you can see it. Right? It's haqiqi taur par maujood hai. So then you can see that there's najasat on my body here, there's najasat on my clothes. So that which can be seen is called haqiqi, and then that's divided. Hukmi is simple to understand. That means the ruling is there, but you cannot see the najasat. A person breaks his wudu for many different reasons. Now, he doesn't have to show where and why his wudu broke. He can just say, my wudu has broken. So in terms of ruling, he is filth. He cannot pray. He has to go ahead and make wudu or ghusl. So breaking a wudu or a need of bath is called najasat hukmi. That ruling is there, you cannot see it. Najasat haqiqi is then divided into ghaliza and khafifa. Now, in Urdu as well, these words are used a lot, so it's easy for us to remember. Ghaliza, something which is ghaliza. Now, in Urdu, ghaliza, we say something which is very disgusting. But in Arabic, ghaliza means harsh, something that has a stronger establishment. So, ghaliza, misaq and ghaliza. The Quran says that they had made such promises which were very, very strong. So, the word ghaliza is used in the Quran in that way as well. So, heavy types of najasat which can be seen, and then light, khafifa. In Urdu we use the word khafif as well, something which is light. So now we're going to determine which things are of each category so we understand, before even going into how it should be washed, we have to know what category of najasat it belongs to. So is it ghaliza or khafifa? We have to know the two. And if it's just hukmi, then a person has to do wudu or ghusl, and that will be taken care of. So heavy filth includes alcohol, sharab. Now, when alcohol gets onto clothing, right? This alcohol in the heavy najasat means that the one which is taken from dates and grapes. That's the type of alcohol we're discussing. If you remember from our tafsir halaqa as well, we talked about this in detail. There are different types of alcohol. But the one that Sharia goes for right after that, this is the true khamar that Allah is indicating, is the one taken from dates and grapes. So if that type of alcohol gets on my clothing, that means I have najasat ghaliza on me. Similarly on my body. Is tarah ka agar sharab lag jaye jo khajur aur angur se liya gaya ho, wo jism par ya kapdon pe lag jaye, to kya hoga? Ye najasat ghaliza hai. It's a big type of najasat. We'll explain how to get rid of it later. Flowing blood, that means for a human being, for animals, whatever, if blood gets onto the body or the clothes, you have najasat ghaliza. You have a heavy type of najasat. Whatever discharges from a person's body which nullifies wudu, that means urine, stool, semen. We talked about in the beginning sessions that for men there are those three things that are related to their discharge. There's madi, there's mani, and there's wadi. So I don't know if we remember, does anybody remember these definitions of these? Should I just explain this? Okay, wadi is what drops come out after urine eating. Any people who have these problems, or even for regular people, if they don't take enough time in cleaning themselves, after urinating, the drops that come out are known as wadi. So even if that comes out, you're in this category. Then there is madhi, that when a person becomes aroused, and this is not an ejaculation, it's before, it's pre-ejaculation fluid, that's madhi. If that comes out on the body, same problem, you have najasat ghaliza. And then mani is semen, which we already know. Then for sisters as well, the blood, once menstrual cycles, if that's found on the body or on the clothes, that's najasat ghaliza. The meat of a dead animal and its skin. Now these are not those animals that are slaughtered. Halal animals that are slaughtered, then they become clean. But these are animals which die, dead animals, they die on their own. That kind of animal, if it's rotten, you know, many places you can find these kinds, so we have to stay away from it. That is type of a najasat, and its skin. The skin issue with animals is that before it's purified, there's a process of tanning the skin. Before that, the skin is najasat. So if the skin has gone through the tanning process, it's being used for leather and it's been through that process, then it purifies. So this is not for skin which has been tanned. On the other hand, the skin of pig, then we have no doubt in that whether it's tanned or not, it's going to be najas. It cannot be used or even touched in that way. Human beings, their skin, because of ikram, because of honor, scholars have said that it is not allowed to be used in anything. That's why we also consider human being skin to be put aside. It should not be used in food and things and in any products whatsoever. The urine of animals whose meat is unlawful, such as a human, fox, or wolf. Now, human, we already discussed, there is ikram, you cannot eat a human being, obviously. Fox and wolf, these are animals which are predatory. We're going to go into that, inshallah, in a little bit. The urine of animals whose meat is unlawful. Yes, so for halal animals, that's coming up. That's going to be in the light one. So these are haram animals. So any animal that comes in, dog, right? Dog is haram. So that fits the category. Now the problem with dogs, another thing is that their sweat. If a dog is wet and it comes around somebody's body or it touches us by mistake, it goes by, that's the issue. We have to understand this. It's not only when people say they have dogs at home and they only use the one idea that, oh, angels are not coming. Let's say it's for security reasons. But other problems are there too, that they're najas. So when their sweat or saliva, both of those things are categorized in this as well. The dung of a dog as well as the dung of predatory animals and its saliva. All of that is filth, heavy filth, najasat ghaliza. The droppings of a chicken, duck, or a swan. They said dropping, this is not urine. So If it's droppings of a chicken or duck, that's also a najasat ghalidah. So then we have the light najasat. Both are najasat, but the way to purify will be different. So that's where the difference will come. So right now we might not remember everything, but inshallah, most things we should remember. Urine of animal which is lawful to consume, cow, goat, all of that, if there's urine found on the body or on clothes, is najasat khafifa. Urine of a horse, dropping of birds which are unlawful to consume. So any of the birds which are haram, the eagles and falcons, birds that hunt with their claws, they're all haram birds, and their droppings are of the category of najasat khafifa.
So dropping of
the pigeon. So is pigeon halal or haram? We'll try to do this in this one. So edible I mean it's halal, and non-edible is haram. It doesn't mean the other definition. So edible birds, they're either going to be flying birds or they're going to be non-flying birds. Like they urte ya nahi urte. So pigeons are flying. Okay. So once we go through that, then it says excused. Why does it say that? Because these are things that are found everywhere. It's too hard to avoid. So scholars have taken this stance that it is allowed for a person to pray with such clothes, even if it's on his body or on his... But it still be makruh because we're neglecting cleaning the fact. But the idea is that if it's so hard to get rid of it, there is an excuse and flexibility given there. So pigeons are of that category, that they can fly and they're also halal. So their droppings, if it gets on the clothes, we're talking about not them being halal or haram, we're talking about their droppings. So their droppings will be excused. That means salat will be okay, but it's still disliked. Non-flying birds, now do we know any? Let me explain this. Huh? Chicken, yes. So halal and then it's non-flying. So when it has a dropping anywhere, what is that? It's heavy filled, najasat ghalidah. On the other hand, we have eagles, falcons. These are non-edible birds. They are also divided into two categories. If they fly, its droppings are... The reason for this is that people get confused with the birds. That's why it's a special charge just for birds. Flying birds that are non-edible, like eagles, that their droppings will be najasat khafifa. And non-flying birds, it will be heavy filled najasat ghaliza, which are haram. Okay, for other animals, predatory animals and non-predatory animals that go out and hunt. Yes, there's fox, right? There's lions. So if their urination is found anywhere on the clothes or body, it's najasat khafifa, heavy filled. Sorry, it's najasat ghaliza. And non-predatory animals. What would be a non-predatory animal? Yes, a deer, a goat, a sheep, any halal animal. They don't hunt. They eat plants and eat. So the urine of such animal will be najasat khafifa. What is cat?
Bird.
Yes. So it will come under heavy field. For every animal, you must look into the definition and then fit it into these charts. Okay. So let's stop there and first understand this whole thing. Now there will be many animals that question come up about, but what we can do is just fit it into these categories that does it hunt or not. The amount, let's talk about najasat ghaliza first, that's the heavy one. The amount, how we measure it, is if you would take a flat palm and there is hollow area in the middle of the palm. And when people say dirham, a nickel or dime, that's not the real way of measuring it. That's just an approximate way of doing it. But that's where it's taken from, that if there was water in my hand, the palm, the hollow area would be able to hold it up. The rest of the area, it will fall off. So that hollow area in the middle of the hand is the measurement. Now, it doesn't have to be so accurate, so I know. Scholars have said 2.75 centimeters in diameter. Those are the numbers given. But how do we really come to a judgment? The person involved is going to decide. His qawl, his saying is taken into consideration. So if it's to that much diameter, that najasat, any of the najasat that we have talked about, which is heavy filth, najasat al-ghaliza, if that is on the clothes, on the body, and if it's to that level where it's covering that much diameter, then you cannot pray in those clothes. That's the problem here. Even if it's on the body, or if it's on the prayer mat, places that we pray, any of those areas is heavy najasat is there, then what's going to happen is that the salat will not be allowed in such a form of najasat. So to clean that, let's just talk about how to clean it. That would be just to purify that small amount. It doesn't mean that the whole clothes have to be washed. So we do wash them anyways, but if somebody just washes that area, he's okay, he's good to go. So that small area has to be washed, and then the clothes will be purified. So washing it in regular way of understanding is to do it with the hands. That's the best way of washing, because you get certification, you get content of the heart. You know you did it with your hands. So first to rub off the najasa. Then it's allowed to use soap, it's allowed to use detergents, it's allowed to use solvents or any chemicals that can remove the najasat, it's allowed to use it. But it should be done at least 3 times. Scholars have said that once you wash it, then you have to squeeze. Then wash it again, then squeeze. So the next time you're taking different water. Then next time you're taking different water. So you're squeezing, washing 3 times at least. That's after that, the ruling will be given that those clothes are purified. So these are just different types. Now, if stains are on the clothes, let's say this picture, and it's in different areas, so then, now even one stain is enough to say that it's more than that diameter. But sometimes it's smaller than that in different areas, then we will have to count it as all together. If you look at it and see it, or it's so much that it's more than that, then you have to clean it as all together. Without which salat will not be okay. So this is a lot. This is more than enough for to know that it's crossed the line. I think some of these pictures are not clear. This is about squeezing. We all understand what that is. Nichorna, kapdon ko achhi tarike se nichorna. Not just one side, but the whole thing. Now the problem comes sometimes in the washing machine. It can be of different companies. Overseas, the washing machines are not so built to do many different things, where draining doesn't really happen and it's just going around in circles and then it all drains at once. So we have to know for sure that I'm putting pure clothes in and then I'm putting impure clothes in as well. So the best way to be cautious is to first clean that najasat. That najasat should be cleaned separately, then put it in with the rest of the clothing. And if we want to put it in together, then scholars have said yes, that will also be okay. But in some cases, it's possible that najasat might still, and traces of it might get around onto other clothes. Some machines don't do a good job. And that's why that statement is there, that it's possible that dirty clothes might dirty all the other clothes and the water. So it's better just to wash that area of the clothing and then throw them in with the rest of the clothes and it will be fine. Yes?
Some people give their clothes to the laundry.
Yes.
And those laundry places probably go from other people can come, and we don't know how it would be washed. It could be all together from other people.
Yes, these are possibilities there. It's a good question that people give out into laundromats. So first we should ask them, if we can see how they're washing, try to do more investigation to the last bit, that how are they actually doing it. If they do yours separately and they have a policy of doing it, it should be okay. But sometimes there's so many clothes that you need help. You want to give it to somebody else to do it. They also fold it as well. But if they do all at once in bulk, then that issue is there. Then it's possible that najasat is going to get everywhere. And we can't say anything. Basically, it's doubtful. So to remove the doubt, is better to ask questions. What is your policy? Are you going to wash mine separately? Are you going to mix them all? So then it's always good to ask these questions. It will clarify the matter more. So for carpet, now these are other areas that cannot be squeezed. Like for a carpet, you cannot squeeze a carpet. It's a thick area. Similarly, a mattress, right? So for these, on top, is where the najasat is. So it has to be rubbed, scrubbed, do whatever is possible to remove the najasat. And it has to get to a point where the person who's doing it, his mind should be satisfied that now it's gone. In many cases, everything is gone, but the color is still there. So scholars have said that the color is no problem, that even if the color is there, but this person has removed all the other traces of the najasat, then it will be considered to be pure. So in this case, it's clean. The one on top is dirty, and then the one on bottom is clean. So you can make the judgment that, okay, the job is done and it's clean. So in many of these rulings, the logic will apply. The one who is doing it, he is going to be referred to that, okay, what do you think? How much have you, do you still feel that something is there? And you say yes, and then continue washing. And when he says that, I feel that I've done enough, then that ruling will be given. The traces of najasat are the smell, color, and the taste. But as far as the taste is concerned, nobody will actually taste the najasat. They'll smell it more. But for the color, it's so difficult to remove at times. That's why there's a flexibility there, that everything else has been removed, but the color doesn't go. And it does happen in some cases. So the ruling will be for it to be pure if everything else is removed. So these are also, this is a mattress. Now in mattress as well, you cannot squeeze it, right? So you're going to rub, use shampoo, whatever it's there, use, and then dry it as well. So once it's dried, then you will look at it and see that how much satisfaction is there. If you still feel the smell is there, the color is such that it forms a body. And yes, we should continue to wash it more. Mattress pads are there, and many other ways of avoiding this situation. But just for our knowledge, these, so all of this is for najasat ghaliza, that amount, right? And we've already discussed which animals are najasat ghaliza. And in that case, you're going to measure with the amount of, let's say, a nickel, right? That size and the depth of your palm. Is tarike se isko napa jata. It's na ho. That means it's equivalent to this or more. Then you have to wash it. You cannot pray. if it's less than that, salat will be okay, but it'll still be makruh, because we're being neglectful over najasat. We know it's there. So we say, oh, forget it. It's not as much, so I'll just pray. So you'll still be losing some reward. Indeed. So does, see, the question will be on you because you're involved, that okay, did the dog touch, or is there any signs of the najasat from the dog? Let's say the dog was here and then I sat in that place, and when I get up, there's a smell, there's a color, there's something there that gives you the idea that now the dirt has gotten to you, the filth has gotten to you. So there has to be those traces. We can't just say that I go to places where dogs are there. So, and of course, for precaution, scholars have said keep a different set of clothing for prayer. Like if we're going to work and coming back, then when it's time for salat, this change clothes and come. Because our weakness in devotion, aajkal jo hamare salat mein aur har cheez mein kya hota hai ki waswase aa jate hain. And this happens a lot. It's a disease for almost every person. So to remove that, you have to take the extra cautionary steps. Like, okay, I'll just keep a whole different set of clothes for this. And I won't even wear these clothes. So if we feel going to public places and then where dogs are there, other animals, and dirty things are there on the seats or places we sit, it's better to keep a separate set of clothing. And if there's trace of najasat that's gotten on your body and the clothes, then we will see that is it najasat ghaliza or khafifa. If it's ghaliza, we measure it by that amount. But if it's khafifa, then we're going to get to that now. Yes?
Okay, suppose the dog sleeps in the room.
Yes.
If the sofa is not wet, mm-hmm. is it still unclean?
That is the case. Okay, the question is that on the sofa, if we know dogs are coming, so is the sofa, are you asking about the sofa? Yeah. To sit there. So now we're putting ourselves in a position of where whisperings might come, right? So the ruling would be to avoid it altogether. The ruling would be to avoid all. Now, if we have sat there, then we are going to see that, okay, what came onto my body in clothes? Okay? So first, best decision is don't sit there if we know that this person has dogs and these dogs are all over the place. So just stand. Don't even sit. And if we're going to sit, then after sitting, you would have to see what actually got to you. So if somebody sat there, then he's regretting, then he would have to check his body in clothes. Can I pray or not? Do I smell weird? So these type of things will come up. And these are the signs that bring the ruling into existence. And if there's nothing there, and we know that dogs sit there, but nothing actually got onto my body, then salat will still be okay. It's just that our devotion might be disrupted, that it's possible something, I didn't see it, maybe it got to me, right? That kind of idea will come. Ji. Ji.
We went for Jawda, Sunday. The man has a dog.
Yeah.
When we went there, the dog was coming by the door and he wanted to shake hands. And he's touching his dog. So you see, he's touching the dog
and then touching you.
Well,
see, these have, yes, you're right. Many of the Muslims we visit on Sundays, they have dogs. Yeah. Unfortunately, in our area, you hear the barking first before the doorbell. So, yes, in these kind of cases, because we're out there giving dawat, now we have to keep the mind of mindset that anything I do right now, it can break this person or join him to the masjid. That's very delicate there. So we have to come up with such wisdom that, okay, if I'm going to shake his hand, I must remember to wash it right after so I can. And if I don't shake his hand, his heart might break. Now we have a bigger issue, right? And if the heart breaks and you have to ask for forgiveness, it's hard to connect somebody who's broken. So because majority is in the weak level of Muslims today, especially around us, so we have to make a decision on the spot. Sometimes it's a decision, okay, he's the one there, you're talking to him about Allah and he wants to make a salam with you for barakat. For these people, they sometimes just want to shake hands to feel good too because somebody came and said a good message to them. So we should shake the hand and then wash it later. And not in front of him, of course, that again is going to cause a problem. So then there might be najasat on hard floors, right? On mirrors, on windows. This is a different type of object which cannot be squeezed. So in these cases, wiping is enough. Let's say leather socks. Leather socks, if they have such najasat on it, which has dried up, especially at the time of Rasulullah, najasat was in different states as well. Some ahadith point out that Rasulullah would have scraped off his semen and then he did his wudu, right? And this is where scholars get into debate that, okay, can we just scrape the najasat off of our clothes and pray? So I remember my teacher had explained this as well, that he said that the type of food is different now and it's caused a lot more fluid in the semen which is developed now. Jab aadmi najasat halat mein utar kapdon pe, especially if the money gets there. At that time, the food was such that it would be so thick, it had a body. If you remove it, it's gone. It's over. You don't need water to wash it. But today, there's more liquid in that matter. That's why you have to use water and make sure that it's removed. So if the najasat is istara ki hai, that it can dry it up and it's so hard that you can either scratch it off and it's gone, then yes, even scratching will remove it. So wiping, in these cases, you'll just have to wipe off. If it's a mirror, it has najasat on it, just wipe it off. And scholars at that time, they say that they had swords. And sometimes swords would have blood on it. That's also, we talked about flowing blood. So what they would do is just wipe. Not every person will go ahead and wash the sword. Then that would become rusty if you put water in it. So wiping is allowed in these kind of objects. For things that are of the earth, there's najasat on dirt. So we've already talked about this in Tayammum, that Rasulullah said that the purifying of the earth is its dryness. When it dries, it's pure, right? So that's what the same ruling is here, that if there is a najasat in a place, it used to be there, but the sun has hit that spot so much and it's dried up that area, so that will still be a pak and pure area. That's the. But do we do tayammum? No. Tayammum is a different case. You will not use that place for tayammum. It can be used for prayer. You put a prayer mat in that area and you will say that that area is not now pure because it has dried. But that same dirt should not be used for tayammum. Move aside and use a different side of the earth. I think I covered the basics. It's not a very long session today. This is the mirror. If it has any dust, it has to be wiped off. And if we have any questions about these things, these are basic things. All of us should know these things. And all of these notes, now these type of notes, you get them every single week. We all already have, mashallah, 16 of these. So everyone should hold on to them. Sometimes I see it everywhere in the masjid and it's flying around. So then, you know, it takes a lot of effort to put this together. You have to go through 7-8 books and then make it simple question answer. If I just go through it in a bayan, then many people will not understand what I'm saying. So these are very basic things for us Muslims. I have to know at least this much. And some of them I don't even mention in detail. The answers are very short and to the point. Also, the fact is that all of these sessions are being uploaded on the website and it's all there. From most of the sessions, we have made it in this way. So, you'll do it later? Okay. So, I have them. I have the whole thing from the beginning. So, I'll give it to him to put it on the website as well. So, it's going to form, what I'm trying to explain here is that you can find rulings about this in many books. But what the books do, they go in a form of a book. It will have much detail that sometimes a normal person doesn't need. So these things are to the very basic. So if we keep these, it's a reminder again and again. And maybe next week we will go ahead and have a short quiz to go over. Here, Kitab al-Taharat, in the book we are using, the book of purification, here it comes to an end after it talks about the water, talks about purification, and different types of areas where najasat can get to once you can clean that. And you've learned about ghusl, tayammum, wudu, and also we've done fasting when Ramadan came. We've done that as well. So if there's any question for tonight's session, inshallah, we can take more questions if it's needed, inshallah. For sisters as well, they have to be very careful about this case that they have this monthly issue. So every single month, it's good to keep separate tissue and cloth in those areas where we feel najasat might come in. Now, when that najasat comes onto a tissue or a particular area, so now you can just get rid of it, throw it. But if we don't do anything about it, it gets on the clothing, then you won't know where is it not. And the whole set of clothing then become doubtful. That's why it's always smart to keep a tissue. Yes. Okay. No, there's no problem, but there'll be an issue with the, because if it's, let's say, if it's haram, it's pig, or it's other animals, then we have an issue with the blood and the meat, if it's getting on your clothes or body, that you have to be aware of. It's not about wudu. So if this najasat, let's say, some haram food that gets onto our body, and then again, it's considered as dead animal. So any animal which is not slaughtered according to the Sharia, it becomes dead. It means that it died without any procedure of making it halal, right? So then we will put it into the category of heavy filth. So it will be in the first category. So if it goes to the diameter of 2.75 centimeters, then we're going to have to use some other clothes or clean that. Yes. Yes, you should just wash your hands anyways. If you're touching a haram food, first of all, I would suggest that if your job contains serving haram food, you have to avoid that, right? So if that also has a problem with the income, it can make it doubtful, because the way it's haram to eat haram food, it's also haram to serve haram food. We cannot give it to others either. So that is a bigger issue there at hand than about just touching the food. And so if we can get, even in that job, if you can ask the manager to put you on a different side and not direct contact with haram meat, any haram food. So because the income which will come is on the service you're providing. And if service is wrong, then the income is wrong. And then everything that income is used for doing it becomes. So it's a chain of things. That's why they say Muslims are those who have submitted their will to Allah. That means every single thing we do is being put to account. we do go to that very little detail, and that's why, if you can, I would say that avoid the whole idea of serving haram food and touching it. If you touched it, it doesn't mean you have to do wudu again. You should just wash your hands. Ji.
Flush
from the toilet, it jumps up. Yes, so that water as well that we use from the toilet, and many of these toilets, they throw water back up, right? So either that water is going to be najas, or it's going to have some specks of it. We don't know. So it puts it in the category of being doubtful, and anything that goes with doubtful, we have to avoid. So if it does get onto our clothes, yes, we should wash that area, because that possibility. Ji. Yes. Ji. Yes, you can wipe that area, or with the wet cloth, just get rid of it. You don't have to do too much, but just to be on the safe side, we should wash those areas. These are cautionary steps. Ji. You have a question? So sisters have said, if we just moved to a new home, non-Muslims were living there before, if we clean the carpet with rug doctor. What's rug doctor? It's a special machine. Okay. Can we pray namaz on that? Everything should be washed. If we're going to use something of non-Muslims, everything should be washed. Okay. So if rug doctor is the best way of washing, yes. If you can hire somebody to do it with a better machine, then yes, take all the measures that can remove that smallest idea in your mind that something was left behind. So if we can replace the carpet, that would even be a better. But if we feel that it's just new, the guy before has just put it in, so we can have it washed. And in those areas particularly where we feel that the kids were there in that area. So, okay, one more point here about the kids. There is a difference in fiqh when it comes to the babies urinating. Now, if in a Hanafi fiqh, it's all the same. It's just like another man who has urinated. The kid's urination is the same. But in Shafi fiqh, they've said that the male and female, the boys from the babies and the girls of the babies are different. So they have done that difference there. That they said that the boy's urination before he starts eating is less, is najas al-khafifa. That means it's a less one. And the girl's urination, it's more. They have different, but in Hanafi fiqh, we should remember that it's even for babies, it's the same as the adults. So if baby's urine is there, then there's a problem we have to. Now, vomiting. When babies overeat or they drink too much milk, they vomit. So anything that breaks the wudu, if you remember in the beginning, I already pointed out, anything that breaks the wudu. So vomiting is also a cause for breaking wudu, but it has to be mouthful. So when the mouthful, vomit comes out, that type of vomit is also najas al-ghaliza. So if kids are throwing up on us, for sisters to know this, then we have to know how much of it got onto our clothes. And again, the same way of measuring will be there. If it's just a little bit, salat will be okay. If it's more than that amount, that diameter which I'm talking about, if about a nickel or so that much, then you have to wash that area, change the clothes, salat will not be okay with that kind of. Yes, again, we have to see the procedure that person is providing. So if we're taking the clothes to them, right, we have to find out how they do it. If they're coming to us and washing our carpet, we have to find out how they do it. If they're using the same things that have just been used, let's say on his machine there's dog hair there. There's something there that's indicating to you that he uses the same thing on everywhere. And no, don't hire this person. So we have to always ask these questions. So it will come down to that. So if it's a person who obviously he has a good new machine and he has a policy, he puts in new detergent every time, right, and his machine is clean, everything is there, then of course it would be okay. But if we feel that it's an old machine and he doesn't ask the question, find out the most, if you feel doubtful, don't hire that person. It will come down to his procedure of cleaning, inshallah. So next Wednesday, can we have a short quiz on what we've done? We've covered a lot of subjects. Inshallah, everyone should know the basics, like faraiz, tayammum. Should I just ask right now? Yeah, I'm not. Okay, you think there are four. What do you think, Ismail? How many? No.
Three.
Okay, good. So like this, we should know that, okay, as condition comes up, I'm not going to find these notes. I'm not going to look for books. I have to know. I have to make tayammum. So it's like, so some basic things we'll review next week, inshallah. We'll try to mix up. Because Kitab al-Taharat is going to finish after this, inshallah. Then Salat starts. And timing of Salat, that's a whole different subject, inshallah. Next Wednesday, let's have a quiz, inshallah. And then we'll see. We also need to do one. This Hajj program again, because the demand is coming, it has to be done again. Some brothers and sisters didn't understand something, so I'll update you on that, inshallah. But most likely next week we'll do a quiz, inshallah. Thoda sa imtihan le lenge ki kitna aata hai nahi aata, inshallah. If something nobody understood, we might have to do it again. That's what happened with these things. It gets dry. You see the amount of people who were there in the beginning. Now after that it goes down. So some people are there, some people say, I know already, why should I go? So it's a revision, we need this, inshallah. Allahumma anta salamu minka salam tabarakta rabbana wa ta'arita ya zinjirani wa likraham rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhabanna wa rabbana wa atina ma wa'adtana ala rusulik wa la tukhzina yawmal qiyamah innaka la tukhlifu al-miyad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.